Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SWP Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Justin Ryan Orhano joins me at Talk Guest every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions to the call ID 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com. And search for quality 17702, and don't forget to bring your Chrome or Chromium based browser that includes Brave and probably, I think, Vivaldi is another one, and of course the latest edition of Edge. And of course there's another way of viewing and watching the wonderful stream live, which is of course Twitch. Just go to twitch.tv/SFU on call. And I usually start the stream going somewhere between 9:30 and 9:35. Sometimes it takes me just a little bit of time to get started. I don't want to start the stream until I'm ready to start recording. So I apologize for delays sometimes. And, of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall @gmail.com. Also, if you want to reach me via my Twitter account, it's also sfuoncall. And, of course, my personal account is Paul Franz. So to find me over Twitter, just go to twitter.com/PaulFranz. That's PaulFranz. And, of course, we got the wonderful tertiary account, which is my business account called Franz Games, FRANZGMES. And of course, this lovely TalkCast gets turned to a podcast and available on various other feeds around the beautiful internet. Steve Cole was busy, of course, working on boost number 38, which actually got released. I think it got released this week too. They're also working on module SJ3, Shadow of the Eagle. Always keeping up to date on the blogs. And Steve Patrick was obviously working on SFB updates, you know, making sure those little tiny little corrections are fixed. Also, of course, SFB module SSJ3. And also, the Tholian Master Starship book. Gene was busy working on Color Arms Starfleet book number 2. And, of course, the wonderful house that she and Al purchased, just enjoying that. Moving on, we're to the SFB Online Tournament, the Sapphire Star Tournament 2. The final round, it's set, as I mentioned last week. That's going to be Jack Taylor in the Black Shark with two drone racks. Got the drone racks in both of the option mounts. And we got Data Manson in the Orion. Now, Data Manson has chosen, when it comes to her Orion battle rate, for the option mounts for it, because she had two packages. One which was basically the phaser package, which is 4 phaser 1s and 1 phaser G. And then it has the other package, which is the one she chose, which has two Hellbores firing arc, you know, FA firing arc with the phaser G, and two drone racks, two type B drone racks in the wing options to protect that those very special Hellbores. Because Lord knows, without the Hellbores, you're screwed in that ship. And currently they have scheduled it to be the first week of January. As soon as I know, I will let you know. So just keep an eye out for that. Not much progress. There actually was some progress, but I had not had a chance to download the latest update of the list. That's because Frank was busy working on some of those conversions, which is, thank you, Frank. But the current completed conversions that I know of is 2,519, yet to be converted to 811, with percent complete still at 75.65%. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one, the only, Paul Franz, welcoming you to the Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, we've got Barry, we've got Dave. The problem is, we don't have you. Come on. join us, whether you want to join us in the Twitch.tv channel at SFU On Call, or you can join us on TalkShoe, www.talkshoe.com, and search for call ID 17702, and then you can join us for chatting either in either location, and also, of course, you can watch the wonderful stream. So, Barry, how you doing?
Outstanding. How are you doing?
Doing good, doing good.
So, I guess we're going to talk about the Stig firing.
That is the plan, my dear friend.
Okay. I don't know. I don't have any records of having. I thought I had posted one on SFB Online, but I don't seem to have any records of it.
That is possible. I've got one, which I'm willing to bet probably came from Ken Burnside.
Yeah, I've got a PDF.
Right, me too. But I don't think, sure if I ever added it to the online client, to the library.
I don't think I created it for the online client, so, because I don't see it in anything I did.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was quite a few shifts we hadn't gotten through to make so they were reasonable for tournament cruisers, and the thing variant.
Right. Yeah, my folder. I created a folder for it, but it's empty.
Well, that makes sense for that.
Well, I created folders for every race, including the Brantodon, and I know I didn't create one of them. So,
well, every empire, yes.
Yeah, every empire, but yeah. So I'm pretty sure I did not do that one. I remember playing one where we were using paper, actual tabletop. Not online, mm-hmm. And I played a Stig variant, and that was the Ken Burnside one.
Right, which I have seen right in front of me.
Yeah, I found it to be completely unplayable. Now, I'm looking at the Omega Master rulebook,
uh-huh.
And all the SSDs, including Ken's SSD and the ones from the SSD books. And the damage table for the kinetic wave is slightly different. And the damage table in the Mega Master rulebook has a maximum range of 26, but then the rulebook says that the maximum range is 25.
Well, I'm looking at the table in the rule book, and it's maxes out 25.
In the Mega Master rule book.
Yeah. I'm 2011.
That's it. That's what I'm looking at, the 2011, the kinetic wave table.
Right.
On page 90.
Yep, page 90.
I'm sorry. My bad. I changed my Zoom setting, and that's weird. Okay.
The 5 looks like a 6. Is that the
problem? Yeah. Oh. You know what? When I zoom out a little bit, it changes. That's just weird.
Yeah. As I said, that's the problem with 5s and 6s. They're so close together.
Yeah.
But anyhow.
Okay. Anyhow.
So the kinetic wave generators, they're 360-degree weapons, right? No, they're not.
They're, you got one FAL, one FAR.
Right.
One RAL and one RAR. On a turn mode B nimble ship.
Right.
With two hits. Well, obviously it's nimble.
Right, because it's nimble. It gets two hit bonuses. Yeah.
Yes.
Obviously you can fire two kinetic wave generators to the heavies in any direction.
Yes, you can.
So that's decent when it comes to arcs, you know.
Yes.
You're never, you know, which is weird. I mean, really, to me that's kind of weird because you got turn mode B and you got a ship that can fire in almost any direction.
Yes.
What's the point?
No, not almost. It can fire in any direction.
Right.
Okay.
And obviously,
it's a completely symmetrical ship in all directions.
Yep. Well, that makes sense. Give it's like a flying saucer.
Yeah. Yeah. But here's and here's the thing. It looks like for a plasma weapon. I mean, you think about it. You can arm it for two turns. You can arm it for three turns. Hold cost is 2 points of power per. Arming cost is 3 points of power per turn.
Right.
And after two turns of arming, you can fire it as a light. If you wait another turn, you get it as a heavy.
Okay.
Yeah. The problem is...
Oh, two or three turns.
Yeah,
I read that wrong.
What's that?
I originally read it as two or three points of energy. I didn't read it completely. It's two or three turns of arming. Okay.
Okay. Yes. Yes. So if you arm it for two turns and fire, and if you want, you can hold it for 2 points of power. So, and you can, So in that sense, it's a very flexible, fast to reload weapon. It's like, wow, I've got a lot. And these things are not quite as powerful as a plasma S, but you've got four of them. It's like, my gosh, this thing should kick ass. But it doesn't. Here's why. If you look at the ranges, it maxes out its damage at 11 to 15.
Oh, yeah. Forget,
Once you go outside those ranges, the damage goes down.
And then when you come in closer, the damage goes down.
Yes.
That's the killer.
So here's the thing.
To me, that's the killer.
And 11 to 15, there's a 11 to 15 impulse delay is between when it hits and when it's fired, when it hits, if you're going for the max damage. That 11 to 15 impulse delay gives your opponent plenty of time to get closer or further out of the max damage range.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And as I said, the biggest thing, and if you look at it, what does it have? What does the ship have? Kinetic wave generators and pulse emitters. So,
yeah.
And the pulse emitters, if you look at the chart, it goes only out to range 4. I.e., it's designed for one and one thing only, and that's defense. Which makes sense.
Well, the pulse emitters are they fire 3 times. They're kind of like a mini Gatling.
Yeah, but still.
One point of power for 3 pulses.
Right, so a decent defensive weapon. The problem is that...
Oh, very decent. And you got 6 of them.
Right. But, see, here's the thing.
Think of it as a Gat. Yeah.
Right. Okay, remember, with real Gats, and you have Gats, you have Phaser 1s, all weapons on that ship where you have usually a Gatling Phaser, you also have... other weapons which get they have hit harder the closer you get. So in theory, in a knife fight, you can use your defensive weapons as offensive weapons. When it comes to Sig variants,
right,
the closer you get, the worse they get. So they're designed for one main tactic, and that is the saber dance. The problem with the saber dance for them is really that their opponent, usually you want a saber dance to, you try to keep at a distance. The reason why you want to keep a distance because you're trying to avoid the amount of damage your opponent is going to inflict on you. Well, the problem is the opponent of the Sig variant had he has nothing, no reason to stand back, no reason not to close. So basically, my guess is with a ship, what you'd be doing, which is going to be, it's a weird tactic, but it's, I think it would might work decently anyway. And that is, you're not going to be firing out the front of your ship. You're going to be firing out the rear of your ship. Basically,
because you're running away.
Always running away. Always running away.
Yeah.
That is going to be your tactic. It's going to be maybe come in and then have it so you're running away. You know, maybe you can fire your front ones on your first battle pass, but after that front battle pass, you're turning away and you're trying to keep your opponent on the rear shields.
Yeah.
And you obviously only can do that for so long, because at some point your rear shields will fail.
Right. Oh, I know.
It's so basically you've got a limited amount of time. It's almost like an Andromeda in that case, in that you have a limited amount of time because you got to get you have to really hit your opponent hard at range, nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
Before
and if he says, "Oh crap! If I run in, I'm going to hit it at the optimal range," he has plenty of time to turn off and take it on a different shield at a lower power level.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's just,
once you're inside range five, yes, it does 9 points of damage for a heavy or 6 for a light. But basically, it's 1 point of power, 1 point of damage.
Yep.
Which is horrible for a photon or a disruptor, but for a plasma weapon?
Yeah. Yeah.
It just doesn't work.
Right, because, and again, and if you try to get him at range, one thing he can do, obviously, at range is either run away or run into you. You're giving him no reason not to run directly at you. If coming directly at you means less damage. What?
Yeah.
I'd like to know.
Yeah.
This crazy race, this crazy empire, who thought about this idea? Oh, heck.
Bruce Graw.
Well, no. I know the designer. But really,
yeah.
Think about it. These ships are unviable.
That ship is great against bases. It's a base killer.
Yeah, that's about it. Agreed. It's beautiful for a base killer. That's about all it's good for.
Yeah.
Is assaulting bases.
Right.
Because after that, Just give the base a couple of ships and they're in trouble already.
Right.
You know?
Now, the seventh shield is kind of interesting. That's a concept.
Oh, yeah.
The secondary about that. Shield.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's see. What's the rule book say about that? I remember that they
Yeah.
were easy to repair or something like
Right,
that.
that's on the Empire, I assume.
That's on page 99 or 98.
98, okay.
Okay, you have to have full shields up. Okay, that's most time. Ship is equipped with operating secondary shields struck by weapons fired from any direction.
Ah,
The
there it
other can
is.
choose to accept some, all, or none of the damage on the secondary shield at his option. If the facing shield is reinforced, the secondary shield could accept the damage before or after the reinforcement is used. The shield through which damage is received is down. There is no requirement to accept damage on the secondary shield. Those think player will almost always choose to do so. If the ship is hit from multiple directions, the same impulse, it can use the secondary shield to block any of this damage, even some from one direction and some from another, as desired by the. So it's basically 12 boxes of shield that you can use for anything you want. They cannot be reinforced, though.
Right.
Hellbores can keep your damage against shields of the ship as if the secondary shield were not present. But then the secondary shield can then be, but does not have to. Okay, so basically, you figure out which is the weakest shield without the secondary shield, then you can use the secondary shield to reinforce the weakest shield. But the repair, secondary shield boxes are somewhat easier to repair. The energy required to repair a given secondary shield is only 1 point, not 2 points. Thus, a stick firing CA with damage control rating 4 could repair 4 secondary shield boxes in a given turn using.
Okay, well, that makes sense. Yeah.
Basically, the secondary shield gives you a very quick way to rebuild your shields cheaply.
Right.
That's kind of really nice. But other than that,
Wow.
I know that I played it in a face-to-face game a couple of times, and you can't win with that ship.
Big surprise.
So,
As I pointed out,
yeah.
the big issue is that you have nothing to discourage people from closing.
Right.
They want to close because most probably any other empire, their ships, the amount they get do more damage as they approach, as they get
Yeah.
closer. While in the Sigvarian, it gets weaker and weaker and weaker.
Yes. Yep.
Now, the one thing to remember also about that secondary shield there is that it doesn't, one thing I just read, which was it does not block transporter operations in or out.
Right. Yeah.
So if you actually have your shield actually dropped, it can't block transport activity. It can't
Yes.
stop you, another your opponent from doing a hit and run raid.
Right.
At that point, the only thing that could stop them is the pulse meters.
Well, that works both ways too. What's that?
Yeah, agreed. No, I think the only thing that would stop them is
Yeah.
if you have your pulse meters available.
Why would the pulse?
Because
What was this again? Why would the?
because your opponent would have to drop their shields, in which case the pulse emitters would definitely have fun firing at
Oh
the
yeah,
down
yeah.
shield. Obviously,
Yeah, I know.
it's a rare thing that you're actually going to drop your shields when there's a weapons in arc.
Right.
And the only way that normally these days I've ever seen, it's rare that I see anyone actually dropping their shields to do a hit and run raid against their opponent in tournament play anyway, unless it's kind of
Yeah.
conveniently dropped for them.
Right. It has four transporters, which is not that great.
Yeah,
now, interestingly enough, it has four tractors, which I don't know if that was just a Ken Burnside typo that he forgot to remove two of them.
Maybe it's just, the whole, overall just balancing of the ship. Not balancing, but, how there it's symmetrical. That whole thing. And to be honest, I don't think having two extra tractors is that big of a deal.
Yeah.
It's a rare thing, a very rare thing, that you ever get to use your tractors, except for when you're tractoring like a drone. Or a missile. Yeah. That's the only time. And even that, right. The problem with doing anything, any tactic like that, for delaying it is that you're delaying it. So unless you kill it with, in this case, pulse emitters. You're waiting for your opponent to just go pop, knock one of those tractor beams out, and then it's coming in. Usually you tractors for delaying tactics so you can destroy it the next turn, but you got to remember to destroy it next turn. And obviously, the question is, you have to do it quickly, because either you have to waste the energy on the tractor beam to hold it past impulse, into next turn, or you got to make sure on impulse one, you kill it.
Right. Yeah. So I was thinking about what could be done to help that ship out.
Oh, Lord have mercy. I'm not sure you can.
And what I was thinking, what's that?
I'm not sure you can, but I'm up for it. I'm up for a challenge.
Okay. And what I was thinking is we need to modify the kinetic wave plasma rules.
I was afraid of that.
Okay, well, you just said there's no way to fix it.
Well, without modifying the actual rules that make the for the weapons, I'm gonna just go on. I got an idea of what you're gonna do, but go forward. I'd like to hear
if you add enough kinetic wave generators to the thing, then you can just pump out a whole bunch of them. So that at long range and gradually close the distance, and your opponent's going to have to run into them at some point. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I know what you're saying.
But that's just brutally expensive.
Agreed.
I've got a dreadnought. You've got a cruiser. I could beat you. so that doesn't work.
No, I don't think that works.
But what I was thinking about was, what if you gave the ship the ability to launch a kinetic wave, but hold on to it for however many impulses, and then release it? And if that was hidden, so you say, okay, I'm firing it, but it's a silent firing. The kinetic wave doesn't leave the ship, but it counts impulses towards towards travel, and then it gets released. Now, that obviously reduces your maximum range, but somebody could be coming in, they're at range 5, and you've been sitting on this thing for 10 impulses, and you released it, and it's like, hey!
Huh.
That's a possible. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, actually,
does that make any sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. But obviously, it requires modifying the weapon. One thing I was looking at, which is in the Omega module 02, There's something which is interesting. Mm-hmm.
Is the improved pulse emitter?
No.
What's it?
Well, you have the improved pulse emitter, and also you have phaser W1s.
Yes.
So you have something that's actually... Okay, there. I don't want to blow it up too much. There. That's a little better.
Yeah, that ship is incredibly phaser light. I mean, six pulse emitters. Come on. That's basically six phaser weapons.
Yeah.
Sure, there are many Gats, but...
Yeah, but the new heavy cruiser looks, you know, to me has, you know, with the phaser ones, looks at least a better chance in my mind. Because
it's got four PW3s, four PW1s, and two improved pulse emitters. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that might be a possibility.
Right. So you actually have...
And a lot of extra power.
Yeah. That's always weird. Two probes. Weird.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So the reason why I think this might actually have a better chance at tournament play is obviously it's got more close-in weapons. You know?
Yes.
So,
yeah.
Even if your kinetic wave generator, you know, people come in closer. Let's say we can have it so that they only come in within range six. We can keep them out the range six before the torpedo hits. Then we got a decent chance then, because after it hits, you know, in theory, yeah, your opponent can give you a new shield as they approach, but that's not easy if they're coming at you.
Yeah. Oh, one of the downside of pulse emitters is there's a holding cost. Unlike phasers, there's a holding cost.
Right. How much is the holding cost? I didn't see.
It's pretty mint. It's half the power you put into it.
Okay, so it's like Sartorium.
If you have particle six cannons of them charged up, it costs six power to charge them up and three to hold it, which is
particle cannons. That's what you got.
Yeah.
They do exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, with pulse emitters, they don't have different modes. They just fire one mode. But, you know, same idea when it comes
to... It fires three times. Where's the improved pulse emitter?
Does it cost a certain amount of energy per firing? Like... phaser G, does it cost a certain amount of energy each time you fire it of those three firings, or is it that you fire it once and it fires three times? What was that? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What was that? I was talking.
Pulse emitters and improved pulse emitters, same power cost, 1/3 point of power per firing. Oh, okay. So they are, your phaser ones protect them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the improved ones basically do a little more damage and have a little more range.
Right. And actually in the case of this ship, what we probably do is you knock out the W3s PW3s first.
No, the improved PWEs appear just before standard pulse emitters, but are still after phaser twos of any type.
Okay, you mean in the hierarchy of things?
Priority of damage.
Right. So
So your PW1s protect them, but not your PW3s. So for every third phaser hit, you would have to take either a PW1 or an improved phaser. I'd probably take the PW1 simply because the IP.
Yeah, but okay, what is the best? So a PW1 is above an improved pulse meter. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Well, then you'd have to take Then you have to take the phaser, the PW1.
One.
Because of, according to the rules, you have to take the best phaser.
Yes. And actually, that's kind of nice because your improved phaser, the PEs, are actually, I think, a superior weapon to a PW1.
Close in? Yes.
Up to range 5, it is.
Agreed. Agreed. But obviously, for a single hit, the P1s are nice. And also, they're only cost 1 point of power, the PW1s, and they don't cost any holding energy. So
Right. But at range 5, it averages slightly more damage, 3 points average. There's a PW1 average is 2.5. At range 4, it does much better. At range 3, it really starts to rock. Range 2, it's good Lord, it's much more powerful. At range 3 or better, it's almost more than range 3 and closer, it's more than double the damage of a PW1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And range 4, it's still more damage. Range 5, it's slightly more.
Understood. Yeah, if we were to use the new heavy cruiser as a terminal cruiser, I would actually give it a little more power. It's only got 34 points of power.
It has more power.
Yeah.
No, it's got more. 30 warp and 12 impulse. 42 power.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're right. Okay.
Yeah.
And I would
got
not,
plenty of power there.
Right, and I wouldn't want to decrease the power just because it's probably going to need it for its shielding.
Yeah,
but maybe that actually might be closer to something that's least flyable, you know?
Maybe. Yeah.
With the additional weapons, is
it helps.
Yeah, it says it's worth 166, 168. I don't think so.
No.
I think they way over give way too much points for the kinetic wave generators.
It's got 4 plasma S's almost. That would normally be a 168, sure. But there's an Achilles heel on that one that's you can fly a ship through.
Exactly. Agreed. And possibly... Because here's always the gotcha in my mind when it comes to BPV. BPV it's an inexact number, to be honest. And I think we both can agree on that.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. But in the case of some ships, some empires, that number is a truer number when it's in a fleet versus single ship.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I would agree with that statement. Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like the whole thing with scouts. You know how they have, you have the economic, mm-hmm. and you have the battle, and the battle is much less than economic, and it's only the only time you use the economic value for a scout is when you're actually building a fleet. Then you pay for the economic value because it's basically worth a lot more in my mind when it comes to a scout in a battle, you know, a fleet battle is worth a heck of a lot more. Same idea.
Yeah.
Hey, stay with me, man.
I got a 5:30. Oh, here, I've got a 5:30 AM wake up. So, I know. Having said that, I am going to be traveling. I'm in basically Nashville, Tennessee right now, which is a freaking long ways from your house.
Oh, I know.
But Christmas worked out weird this year, and my boss has approved that I can work remotely on Monday, Thursday, and Friday for the next 2 weeks.
Huh.
Of course, Tuesdays and Wednesdays are off for the next 2 weeks.
Right.
And because of that, tomorrow night I travel back to Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saturday I'll drive out to Pittsburgh. Stay out there through Christmas. At some point, I'm going to be visiting my mom, and I'll be driving right past your house.
Wave while you drive by.
So, well, I could stop. I'll be bringing board games.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what day?
That's to be determined.
Okay.
It would be between Christmas and New Year's on the way out to New Jersey. And somewhere in that range. I'm not sure what the drive back time will be.
Okay. Well, you know, give me a heads up, because there's at least 2 days where I'm not sure if I'll be here. Which is the 26th and the 30th. Those are the 2 days I'm not sure I will be here. Because I needed to drop off my son early on the 26th. Plan on going out to lunch with my wife afterwards. And then we'll come home after that. But I'm not sure when you'd be flying by. if you were doing it on Boxing Day.
I could drive by on Saturday the 28th.
Mm-hmm. I'll be here. At least I should be here.
Okay. Should I break out brass?
Yes. Oh, that'd be awesome.
Okay. There's two versions, Birmingham and Lancashire.
Yeah, I know.
Do you want to watch how to play videos and stuff like that, or read the rules ahead of time?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Do you have, there's a really good playthrough by Ant Lab Games,
mm-hmm.
On Brass Birmingham.
Okay.
Very well done. It's a long YouTube video.
Understood. Okay. I'll write that down. Okay. Written down. Just want to know what to look for. Brass Birmingham. And who made it again?
Roxley Games.
Roxley Games. Okay.
Roxley. Yeah.
Roxley, did they make the video?
No. Well, there's a couple of, there's a whole bunch of videos. There's Heavy Cardboard, but that one is well done too, but that's a 4-hour video. That's probably a little bit long.
Yeah.
That's a 4-player. And I think it's one of the designers of the game gave the talk on how to play it. And then they had it was a 4-hour video of learn and watch.
Right. Right.
And then Ant Lab Games, I think, was about a 2-player game. And it was, a lot shorter. It was like two hours, I think, 2.5 hours.
Okay, that's okay. Ant Lab Games. I will look at that one.
that
seems a lot more reasonable.
That's a better one. Yeah. I mean, Heavy Cardboard is. Well, I don't know if you've ever watched any of their videos.
No, I have not.
They're actually pretty good, but they're long.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like they go through a whole playthrough of a full game.
Yes, they do. Well, both of them did. Both of them did.
Yeah, but it sounds like 2 versus 4. I would prefer to watch a 2-player because we're not going to be playing a 4-player game. And I'm willing to bet you when it comes to strategies, there's a different strategy when you use playing four people versus two.
Yeah, and I think the camera work was a little bit better with Ant Lab Games.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. But I'm looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So you think that possibly the new heavy cruiser for Sigvarian might be, I don't know.
Barry, I think it has a better possibility of actually being a viable ship.
Oh, absolutely.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying, will it be a viable ship? Eh, only play will tell. You know?
That is true.
Because,
that is true.
Until you actually play, at least for me, until you play a ship enough, you don't have a good feeling for how it should be played.
Right. Now, the other thing to keep in mind is that, the 11 to 15 range is nice, but if you think about it, the 6 to 20 range is viable.
Right, exactly. That is what I'm thinking, really. That's why I was thinking of, with the closer in weapons, the Phaser W1s and the Phaser W3s, and obviously in addition to the improved pulse emitters, you can actually have a viable attack strategy where you actually can close into your opponent, fire, your kinetic generators early on as you approach your opponent, and then, whatever he does, if he wants to close in, great. If he wants to fly away, that's fine too.
The other thing is that I think the optimal speed for that ship is actually speed 16. So you might come in and at range 20, fire, or even 22.
I think what you would probably fire. Want to do overall is a lot of mid-turn speed changes.
Mm-hmm.
You'd want to have it so that when you're planning on launching the kinetic wave generators, that you're going slower you know, speed 16, maybe even a little slower than speed 16. The idea is to is to allow the kinetic wave torpedoes to get out in front of you and engage the target. And and then you come up behind them.
Well, you don't want to close. That's the last thing you want
to
do.
Well, yeah, but with the news, heavy cruiser, you have a better possibility of actually closing.
Yeah. But I'm thinking that if I can, say I get to range 20, and if my opponent's coming straight at me, and I'm going 20, I might want to fire two of them, and then turn to the side. And now he has a problem. If he turns and runs away, I can turn back and get closer and basically trap him in the corner. And then fire the rear ones while at a range that he can't get out of the corner.
Well, it's standard plasma, you know, or even other seeking weapons, which is you want to control the center of the board. Now, obviously,
but if he ever gets close, you're done.
Well, let's see. Again, that is always going to be the difficult part with this ship because of the kinetic wave torpedoes. Well, the generators, well, the torpedoes that get launched, whatever. They don't discourage closing.
Right.
It's not like a plasma F or sorry, a plasma R where it discourages you from closing a great deal. You want to go exactly the opposite direction of a plasma R. You want to run it out as far as possible. While in the case of the Sigmarian, in the kinetic wave torpedoes, they're either you can go in or out. You got a choice. You know, you can decrease the amount of damage you take from coming in closer or running farther away. You know?
Yeah.
And that's why...
And you certainly don't want to fire them less than in pairs. Because you need to punch a shield with that.
Right. Well, at least have the possibility of punching a shield. Punching through a shield. But see, that's the benefit of the additional close-in weaponry. And that is that it gives you the possibility of a reason for your opponent not wanting to come in closer.
Yeah.
Versus the original Terman cruiser over here. You can't see it, but everyone else can.
I'm actually looking at two screens. And I've got the new one on my right screen and the Ken's on the left screen.
So you know, get some pulse meters, but that's not going to do much damage. You know, with this with a new heavy cruiser, you got the possibility, with all the with just the phasers to punch through a shield. It's a possibility. I'm not saying it'd be easy to do. I'm just saying it's a possibility.
Yeah.
You know, so it gives a person pause. You know,
right.
Obviously, it still would be better if the kinetic wave generator torpedoes didn't do that wacky thing. That's just a weird behavior for any weapon.
Oh, I know. It is bizarre. There's nothing else like it.
Yeah. Of course, what was it? I think it was the... I think it was the Module C4, the training module
Mm-hmm.
where you had the
Yeah.
T-bomb throwers, I think it was.
So the what?
T-bomb throwers. They could basically
The
throw
what throwers?
T-bomb throwers.
Oh, T-bomb throwers.
Yeah.
Oh.
And basically, it
Not
was,
familiar with that one.
yeah, it was a weird weapon. It's like, what's the one? Actually, I think it might have been the Frax that had the guide-by-wire torpedoes.
That's a good fire cloak.
That you could basically control the torpedo after you launched it. And it wasn't just, oh, get closer to your opponent. No, you can have it so it ran away from your opponent if you wanted.
Nice.
Crazy things like
So,
that.
oh, so he launches a weasel. You tell the torpedo, run away from him for an impulse or two while I take down that weasel when it's voided, then go back.
Yeah, I think it was the shark hunters that had the T-bomb throwers,
Yeah.
which were.
Well, the Caligar essentially had the T-bomb thrower, the antimatter cloud generator.
Ah, true. That's true. That is a definitely an interesting system.
Yes.
How exp you started and it just keeps expanding.
The cloud generator? No. The Caligar antimatter cloud generator was basically a duration of one impulse, and everything in that impulse, everything in the target hex takes damage.
Oh, okay. I'm confusing it with another
That's the
system.
Caligar. Yes, you're thinking of the plasma cloud generator from the Alunda.
Ah,
That's what you're
yeah.
thinking of.
Right.
Yeah.
Oy, too many systems, my friend.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't think we would be able to handle both the Sigvarian and the Singers today. I was thinking of the Singers when I asked you the question, and it was like, and then you said Singers and Sigvarian. It's like, yeah, pick one.
Okay. I was thinking,
So next
the reason
time.
I was thinking about two of them was because I thought we could get through both of them because they were kind of
Yeah.
small. They don't have much weaponry, many unique systems overall. And tactically,
Singers have. Yeah, Singers are kind of interesting, but they're overpowered. But we'll deal with that next. Was
yeah.
it next week? Day after Christmas?
Day after Christmas, I'll be here. The question is, will
Yeah.
you be available? Because it seems like you're gonna be driving around a
I
bit.
should be. I no, day after Christmas, I'll be in Pittsburgh. So I'm good.
There. Just want
Okay,
to.
I have a 5:30 a.m. wake up tomorrow.
Okay. In that case, I will let you go.
Yeah.
You have a good evening and a good Christmas.
You too. Merry
Okay.
Christmas.
Okay. Merry Christmas. So, with Barry gone, had a nice little discussion about the Sigvarians. Obviously, the biggest issue with the Sigvarians are just the kinetic wave generator and such a whacked weapon. I'm sorry. It is whacked. It really is whacked. When you have the closer you get in, the less damage it does. It's like weird. And it's not a, what I thought there was a weapon where it actually the farther distance it went, the more it kind of gathered up damage. I thought there was one like that. Which meant, and to a certain degree makes sense if you if the weapon's actually kind of collecting like galactic dust to increase its virility, you know, the amount of damage it can do at the end when it actually blows up. You know, crazy, but you never know. Somebody tells me there's not that much cosmic dust to, I mean, when you travel through space to pick up to be able to do that, you know. But you know, of course, they have all these kinds of spaceships that have been thought of from using basically nuclear weapons to explode behind the ship to move the ship that way. To kind of a ram scoop, where the whole idea is that you accelerate those the particles through space, you know, through the middle of the ship, you know, and the thrust was the way of just forcing all those out the rear of the ship. That's one way of moving the ship. There's of course there's solar sails. There's all different kinds of ways of actually moving ships interstellar, you know, in space. So, well, I think I will, with that, I will wrap up this evening. I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy Hanukkah. And with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.